What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
And I'm Keith.
And maybe we'll be joined by some other people later when they put pants on. I don't know. I'm not in charge of those people. As I was just
Pants,
saying,
shirts, clothing.
I am but a semi-intelligent monkey in the cogs of the gun industry machine. I am wearing my, if you're watching this on Open Ear Media, because the show is brought to you by Taurus USA and Bleecker Street Publications, and Bleecker Street owns Open Ear Media platform. So if you're watching this over there, you can see I'm wearing my official boomer hat. It is a for people who don't, it's an
I
almond
love
drab
entering
Air
our
Force
boomer that
hat
era, man.
with the wing, with like the Air Force wings, and it says US Air Force on the bill. It's actually a really good hat. But I am unintentionally Mr. All. I'm wearing like three different shades of olive drab right now. So, yeah. So anyway, the show's brought to you by Taurus USA and Bleecker Street Publications. You should go buy guns from Taurus USA and go read content from Bleecker Street because it's all very good stuff.
Welcome back,
On this
Caleb.
week's episode of Gun Day Brunch, we are talking about firearm industry news. And that's a bit of a deep cut because I used to have a podcast called Firearms Industry News that I did during COVID until I got bored because the news was just bad all the time.
It was not a great time. It's just like, wow, this is just sad. What's
Oh
happening?
man, the COVID, the doing firearms industry news during COVID was tough. We have added
Oof.
Paul. Let's see if his audio works this week. Paul's here. Paul, does your audio
Paul is here.
work?
Does my audio work?
Oh my God, we
Oh,
can hear you
it
this
is
week.
working. It's working so
Your
much
audio
better.
was so bad last episode, I almost kicked you out of the podcast. I was like, no.
I
But
somebody someone DM'd me about that and even sent me an Amazon link so I get a microphone. He sent it to me too. It was the same person. We know who we're talking about.
that's
The
good times.
wonderful Daniel, shout out to you. We appreciate you looking out. Thank you. I'm
I've got
sure
to
you'll
say, the AirPod Pros that I've been using that have the active noise canceling do an excellent job as both a microphone and putting noises into your head device.
Skull Candy has also been very, very solid.
I believe that. I had Skullcandy headphones before. I think the last pair of Skullcandy headphones I had was when I still had a BlackBerry. So,
I just
which.
remember having such good for the big muffs for gaming headset. It's like the big audio quality was always excellent with them. And so I tried their pods recently, and I got a set because I was going on a plane, and I'm like, well, I want the good ears for the plane, and I was missing my old set, so I bought a new set, and the battery life on these things is absurd. I'm like, you all figured out your electronics really nicely, and I appreciate that about you.
The best thing, and one of the saddest moments too in my professional travel career, was the time I left a $400 pair of Sony noise canceling over the ear headphones on a flight. And I realized it just as I stepped across the jet bridge. And I was like, and I'm off the plane and I can't go back. So I turn around and I go ask the fucking gate agent. I was like, hey, I left a pair of really nice headphones in the seat back of seat 1A. Could you have a guy get them for me? And she goes, yeah, we'll look for them. And at that second, when she said, yeah, we'll look for them, was the moment that I realized I was never seeing those
You're
headphones
gone.
again.
I very sadly lost a knife to travel the same way. Not obviously on the plane, but checked under the plane, because it wasn't at my destination. And I go, hey, like th this was the old Marine Corps Benchmade. This was never a commercial product. It was old Marine Corps issued Benchmade. And it been with me for many years. Like this would be my 20th year in the Corps. I had it most of that time because we got them in, I think, 2009 or something like that. But yeah, I packed it going to, I want to say, NRA, and packed it in the bag. Like, but I this time, instead of packing it deep and in an internal pocket, I had forgotten it, so I just shoved it in the top. And I was also checking a firearm in the bag. So I think what happened is TSA opened the bag to inspect the firearm case and it popped out, or a TSA agent got grabby hands.
Stinky grabby
And
hands, stinky hands. Man, we're gonna
no more knife.
so. Oh man, do you know, for a brief second, or maybe for the entirety of the show, there is a we're gonna talk about travel and especially gun industry travel. So I know Paul has traveled a ton. Paul, didn't you used to be an over-the-road trucker, like in a previous lifetime?
In a previous lifetime, yes. And
That's crazy
I,
work.
well, you know, firearms aren't allowed in commercial motor vehicles, so.
Right, and so no truck drivers have guns in their trucks at all, because that would be
Absolutely
illegal.
not. Yeah,
Never
they,
happens.
nope. And they also don't have four log books and, you know, one to show the roadie and one is turned into work and.
Are you telling me that a heavily government-regulated industry is subject to fraud and deceit by the very people working in it?
And with rules, you know, for your own good too,
I'm
because
shocked, sir. I'm
God
shocked.
forbid you
Shocked, I
drive more
say.
than 11 hours, you know.
Yeah, because I've never seen a truck driver, you know. I mean, what's funny is like, so talking about travel, right? Like travel in the gun industry, because travel in and of itself is a hellacious nightmare. And it has, in my lifetime, just gotten worse. Like there's no, I can't point to anything that has happened that has made the act of getting from point A to point B more pleasant, with one exception. Apple CarPlay has made long drives way more pleasant.
So much better. Being able to connect this and the entertainment contained within to the car, very nice.
And to do it
Very,
with
very
an
nice.
and to do it with an interface that is actually usable. 'Cause like these youths don't understand.
Yes.
Back when you had to, when all you could do, like, we thought it was great when you could just pair your Bluetooth to the car and listen to your music that way through your phone. But the interface was like the car's shitty interface, and you couldn't, you know, search for songs in a way that made sense. No, Apple CarPlay.
You usually had to hard plug it in and then hope that it would work on your phone interface rather than the car's interface,
Oh
which would be
man.
impossible to figure out.
Remember the fake
Yeah. cassette with the headphone jack? That was awesome.
Yes. Oh my
Yeah,
Lord. I still
the
have
three
mine.
mil. Yep.
Yeah. So definitely, I remember. So, I mean, hell,
Hawks
I
died.
remember when you would do a cross-country road trip with printed out MapQuest directions, and you would just hope that there was a good radio station in bumfuck Pennsylvania as you drove
Every
through it.
everyone listening to us right now is watching us go not just gray, white. We're going white. We're getting the Santa Claus beard.
We're just
It's
getting older and
popping out.
older.
We're all doing our Tim Allen impressions. That's an old movie too, by the way. So if the youths don't recognize that, I'm in big
Wireless
trouble.
Apple CarPlay, also amazing. Like,
Yes.
once I synced my phone to my Maverick, I now just get in the car and I leave my phone in my pocket, and CarPlay shows up. Hell yes. So, if we're talking about travel, and gun industry travel, the only invention that I can think of that has made any sort of air travel, any sort of travel nicer than it was in my lifetime, has been Apple CarPlay, because everything else, and we'll go around the table, has made it worse, right? Like, even the improvements to things, even the enhancements, things like TSA pre-check, clear, and all of that, all those are doing is trying to make a very shitty thing, post 9/11 airport security, slightly less shitty,
Yeah,
and they're still not as
we're going
nice.
back. We're trying to reach what was an old standard of like, okay. Oh, can I also say, and I know it's a fucking meme, but it's the absolute truth. Anytime that you have any sort of urgency at the airport whatsoever, whether it's the parking ramp that you usually take are full is full or anything like that, that is the day that everyone who has never flown before is flying with you.
Yeah, can we build
Everybody
like a
who has not heard of
second
the TSA
airport
in the
for those
last
people?
25 years, you're all here at the airport today. What a coincidence.
How did this happen? Paul, what? Okay, so can you think of anything, Paul, that has made, well, and you're also, well, shit, Paul, did you fly before 9/11? Did you do commercial air travel before
I mean,
9/11?
I was a kid, but
Okay. So I did it as an adult. I mean, legally an adult, right? I was 18, but 19. But commercial air travel before 9/11 was so great. So I guess for Paul, like things have actually gotten better because you probably started flying. When did you like start
So I grew up,
flying a
remember, I grew up on a
reasonable
border.
amount?
I grew up on a border and I used to cross all the time. And I remember crossing before 9/11. After September 11, a 25-minute wait would take 3 hours. So like I've been around for the institutification of these things. But when did I start flying in earnest? It was maybe like early 2010s, which is high water mark of the TSA and then the porno scanners and them groping you and like I don't appreciate being felt up like that. I
Yeah,
really
who
don't.
does? I mean,
Not without a
I do,
drink
just not
first.
by a government employee.
Not without a drink
So
first.
in your so for you, Paul, it's things have actually gotten better. Because we have clear and pre-check, and I will say this, as anti-government as I am, like when Delta did the contactless facial scanning boarding pass, where like I can skip all of the lines, I don't need to show my ID or my boarding pass or anything, and it's just because they've got facial recognition scanners. Oh yeah, please, federal government, take my facial ID and
Every
get me up.
bio sign that you need to prove that I can get through this line faster, please. Thank you. I am gone.
Because I've said this so many times, my entire travel experience is built around trying to spend as little time around like the normie travelers as possible.
Of course. I mean, I travel quite a bit in TSA pre. Well, shit, where I live in Austin, that's everyone uses it, so there's a line, but in other airports, like in Vegas, there's never a line. It's great. I was just spoiled for the like heavily spoiled by the first time because I still have a lot of normie tendencies when it comes to I've got clear. I'm getting through, but I go sit at like a normal bar or grab a seat at a normal restaurant usually in the time. I was spoiled for the first time this past trip when I got once again stuck in Texas because I always get stuck in Texas. I went to the Delta Lounge for the first time. That was such a nice experience, and it's the most first world of first world problems. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, invest in your lounge access because it's so much better.
The
Enjoy.
Sky Club in LaGuardia is so nice, and it's really, really great. But let's talk a
Oh, I
little
don't have
bit
power at
about
my house right now. That's fun.
some of the specifics of firearms related travel. So we'll start with driving. And I know Paul's done a lot of driving. I mean, we've all done a lot of driving. So like, what are some good best practices? So, this is a question that we see all the time is I live in Indiana and I'm going on vacation in Florida. Can I take my gun with me? And, people, and I'm like, you could probably just Google that. Like, if you type that exact sentence into Google, it would probably tell you. Or
It's going to
Google's
pop up
shit ass AI
reciprocity.
will give you a
You're
terrible
going to get a
answer.
terrible AI review, but you're also going to see links for reciprocity and best practices and everything like that.
So, Paul, let's talk about traveling across state lines with guns. What are some good do's and don'ts?
See, this is why I like shotguns and low capacity pistols, and we talked about this like a couple episodes ago. If you have something that stays to 10 rounds, you don't have to worry about accidentally messing up in that sense. Guns that are on the rosters of the states that have rosters, they have their place, guys, because they I can't emphasize enough that convenience has a value. So having something like this little bodyguard, which is on rosters because it holds 10 rounds when you stick the 10 rounder in it, or you don't use the extended mag, that has value because now I can, if I have to go places, it can come with me.
So,
All your revolvers.
the first thing to do, in terms of best practices, the easiest way to travel across state lines with a gun, any gun, well, any non-NFA item. NFA items are a completely different kettle of fish, but any non-NFA item,
We're
the
talking about
easiest thing
regular
to
guns.
do, is to
Title
have
one.
it in a box, and that box in a secure area of your vehicle that you do not have access to, like a trunk or something like that. If you have a pickup truck, for example, that has an open bed, then you can have it in a box and have that box locked and have it stowed under the seat. That is all good to go as long as it is unloaded and secured away from you without easy access. You are covered by FOPA. You can drive through almost anywhere with a gun set up like that. You cannot drive through Washington. Well, no, you can drive through Washington, D.C.
True.
I wouldn't particularly want to be the test case for if I get pulled over in Washington, D.C. with that gun locked up in my vehicle. But
New York, New Jersey, and a few other places are also spicy, but it is you are technically protected because your destination is what matters in travel sense.
and in
So
fairness, what Caleb is describing is also the California standard, whether you're just going down a street or to the range or across town. So that's, if it's good enough for California, it's good enough for traveling anywhere.
right. So for people who don't know, the Firearms Owners Protection Act allows you to transport a gun across state lines, regardless of whether or not that gun is legal or illegal in that state, so long as it's legal in the destination, in in your state of origin and your destination state, right? It has those caveats. The gun has to be unloaded, it has to be in a secure container, and it has to be out of reach of or not able for the driver to immediately access it, I think is the way it's the law is written. So that's way number one. It is the safest way, with the caveat that if you say you get pulled over in New York or New Jersey or Washington, D.C., or a state that has very harsh
Maryland
gun
and
laws,
Chicago.
you, Chicago, you may end up getting detained. You will eventually win, but it may not be that day. And your gun may go away for a while. And then you may have to deal with an anti-gun administration to try to get your gun back, which is why I recommend your gun be a Taurus 856, because you can buy like three of them. And if the cops take one because you're driving through Chicago and they don't like your gun, oh well, I've got two more at my house. But in all seriousness, so that's the easiest way to do
Heritage
it.
Roscoe, also a good one on that
Heritage
list.
Roscoe, also an excellent choice. That is the easiest way to do it. When you're, if you're carrying the gun concealed, is where it gets dicey, right? Although, there these days, it's getting a lot easier with all of the constitutional carry states. So, what you need to do if you want to carry your gun concealed from your point of origin until your destination is you need to route plan. And by route plan, I mean you need to look at a map. And if you're, say, going from Pennsylvania to Florida, you need to make sure that all of the states in between Pennsylvania and Florida that you're going to drive through honor your Pennsylvania concealed carry permit.
Yes.
Because
Also.
then here's the extra tricky part. Some states may not honor your permit, but they may say you can carry your gun and drive through our state so long as you don't stop in our state, like Illinois, for example.
Illinois.
If you drive from Indiana to Missouri and you go through Illinois, you can carry your gun starting in Indiana and keep carrying it all the way through Illinois as long as you don't stop anywhere. So go pee in Evansville.
P on the one side, P at do not stop in the Illinois, especially Chicago. Additionally, in addition to that, even if you're reciprocal through all the states and you're good to carry, make sure you check to see if they have any funny zones. I think Ohio has corrected it since, but Ohio, you used to not be able to carry into the public rest stops. That was a
Interesting.
thing for a while. Which is terrifying when you consider what a public stop is. But,
That's like one of the places I would want to have a gun is, oh, I'm stopping to go pee and it's 10 o'clock at night at a shady rest stop. Yeah, let me just leave my gun in the car.
But yeah, that was for, I think it has since been corrected because they're like, wait, this doesn't make sense. But there, look up their zones, because as you are in their state, their prohibited zones are what matters, not your state's prohibited zones, that state's prohibited zones. You are operating under their rules.
Also, look up whether no gun signs have force of law, right? So this is
Correct.
something we've talked about a lot, you know, that in the great state of Texas, a sign that says no guns allowed, so long as it adheres specifically to the way that sign is supposed to be written, that sign has force of law. If you violate a you can't carry your gun in here sign that's correctly displayed under Texas statute, you are de facto committing a crime. All right. The
In
same is
Michigan,
true.
does not. That statute isn't here. It is only by law. It's not by marking.
So, and this is important because it is the difference between you go into a restaurant with your family on vacation and you sit down and you are enjoying yourself and you're printing, and someone realizes that you have a gun and they complain to the management. All right. If you are in a, you know, a Texas roadhouse in what's the state where the signs don't, in Michigan, the management will come up to you and say, "Sir, we would like you to leave our establishment." And if you're a smart person, you'll be like, "That's kind of bull crap, but I understand. I will politely leave your establishment." And then you leave. And you haven't committed any crimes. You do that in Texas or South Carolina, crime time.
You have, in fact, violated the law.
Which
In
is
Michigan,
also
you're
why,
trespassing if
which
you
is
don't
also why
leave.
you should have good concealment. Like, printing does matter,
Yes.
guys. But printing really, really matters, especially if you are going to push the limits on something like that, where you're, you know, you may be. Maybe, like, you know, carrying a gun in some place that you're kind of maybe not supposed to be carrying that gun. That's when printing really, 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 really matters.
Out of sight, no problems. It's always the rule with concealed. If nobody can have an issue if they don't know it's there.
Speaking of not knowing it's there, let's talk about guns on planes because,
Yes.
I got beef, and my beef is this. It's. I don't understand why every single airport has a different. I know I do understand to a certain extent. So, when you fly with a gun, assuming you're not a federal agent flying armed, which none of us are, so, you know, if you are a federal agent flying armed, great. God bless. I'm jealous.
Cool. You unlocked the easy mode for all of this thanks to your employment. Congrats. The
You know
rest of
what's
us have to
funny?
deal with the patchwork of both the airlines and the federal regulations and how the airport itself does it, which is fun.
I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a Fed, and he, you know, the airlines require Feds to inform the captain that, you know, there's an armed federal agent on the plane. And he's like, I had the weirdest interaction because, like, 99% of the time, the captain is like, cool. This
Cool.
one, and he was telling me about he had this one guy who was just like, he's like, I can't stand it when you people bring guns on my planes. And my buddy, the Fed, was like, cool story, still doing it. This says I do what I want. So every airport that you go to will have a slightly different procedure for checking your gun through the TSA. The
Sometimes a
reason.
drastically different procedure.
So it's well, and the reason for that is because every airport is laid out differently, right? Like, it's, you know, there wherever they have put the guys that handle oversized baggage, because it's always the oversized
It's
baggage
always
guys.
oversized bag. Yep.
Yes.
That's how they handle it. I will shout out DTW with this one. Detroit's process, at least through the Delta side of things, has always been very seamless. Going and leaving Detroit has been very smooth for me, always very easy. Everyone at the check-in counter knows what to do, knows how to properly tag it, knows how to properly check it, the forms, everything. Very smooth process. Leaving Georgia, however, through Atlanta, not so smooth.
Atlanta's tough because Atlanta's just a monstrous sort of thing in and of itself. Paul, how is it in Austin? I feel like Austin would be pretty good with the guns.
Yeah, Austin's pretty smooth. I've never had an issue. I usually fly through American or Southwest and check it in. It's like, okay, cool. We're going to tag it, go take it to the oversized area, put it in the conveyor, and then wait for the TSA guy 15 minutes. If no one comes out, just go ahead and go through security. And they're just there in case they got to open it or something.
That's pretty much how it is where in Greenville as well. And I've noticed that a lot of smaller regional airports like Greenville, Austin, Sioux Falls, South Dakota have a variation of that procedure, right? Because they're all kind of they were all built in the last 20 years. They are actually all fairly similarly laid out. So you can kind of go and wait and you stand by the door like an idiot and scroll your
Atlanta's
phone
is
for
that
10
way,
minutes.
except Atlanta's oversized baggage area is way
Oh
the
yeah.
fuck down. Just
Now
the
the
other end. And you always have to wait for your bag to clear. So it's always backed up. They're always scanning everything. You could sit there. I sat there 90 minutes one time trying to clear it. And I'm just like, I'm glad I habitually get to things early because just ate up
So
my entire time window.
here's
That's
one
rough.
that here's one that I got for you guys. So Delta and American and United, when you check a firearm, we'll tag the bag with a special tag that says "sent take to the baggage office," right? So, it's a tag that tells the baggage handlers to not put this bag on the carousel, right? I fucking hate that, and I hate it not because it's an inconvenience, although it is an inconvenience.
I know where you're going with this, and
I
I have
hate
a
it because it's a big fucking steal me sign. Like, you don't have to be very bright to look at the hard Pelican case that's got big fuck ass locks on it, and then a special tag that says give to the baggage office and think, ooh, I bet you there's something in there that I could steal. What do you guys think?
the addition to that, so not only is it a big steal with me or guess what's inside, it's very, very valuable and shiny fucking sign, which puts it absolutely into the hands. There's no ambiguity with it. Like if you're using FedEx, UPS, just, and you do generic cardboard box, you have some of the security that comes with generic cardboard box.
Right. Herd
Right?
immunity.
You have a lot, you have a lot of ambiguity that, like, look, if I bust this and then get busted with it and it's not even worth my time, oof. So you get some additional security there. You don't out of the TSA. On top of that, if they just ignore that tag and it goes out into Gen Pop on the conveyor, which mine has twice, instead of, at the baggage claim where I am waiting to pick it up, because that is a separate location, then anybody who knows what that tag is can also just yoink that out of the baggage claim, because there's no security there making sure, is that your bag? That's the exit. They are like, grab it, grab whatever, and get out.
Now, I have to say, the absolute dumbest post bag check airline procedure. So American Airlines, they'll take you to the baggage office and you just have to show them an ID, right? And then they hand you your shit and you leave. Delta, and I know why this happened too. So in either 17 or 18, 2017 or 2018, a dude at the Fort Lauderdale airport got his bag off the carousel, retrieved a firearm from the bag, and shot up the baggage claim, right? That guy was flying on Delta. So Delta added this extra policy layer where they, before they hand you your gun case back, will put zip ties around it, these big industrial grade zip ties to keep you from opening it in the airport. My favorite thing to do, and this is because I am a bit of a troll, is they will hand me the bag, all zip my bag all zip tied up, and I will take the trauma shears out of my carry-on, because I keep trauma shears in my carry-on, cut the zip ties off right there and hand them back to the baggage agent. They don't like it when you do that, but then I just say, well, ma'am, this is just a Delta policy. It's not a law or an airport policy. So here's your trash back. Can you throw these away for me, please? I don't want to litter. Oh, that one pisses me off so bad. It's so stupid and so easily circumvented by something like I keep trauma shears in my backpack.
That I was tra I was traveling with a soft bag one time and just a locked pistol case inside it. They zip tied the handles of the bag. The carry, not the
Not the
open carry
zipper. No.
handles. They zip tied the carry
Then,
handles of the bag.
now you want to talk about the protection of anonymity. That's probably the best way to go, right? Like, and I do recommend this. If you're just traveling and you're taking a gun with you because you want to have your carry gun at a location, the best thing to do is to put a lockable hard pistol case in a regular ass looking suitcase and then throw a TSA lock on your regular ass suitcase because that just looks normal. It
1,000%.
doesn't draw attention, it doesn't draw the eye. Like I have a big fuck off orange Nanook that I mean, I might as well put a sign on it that says this is a gun case, right? Like it's very obvious what it is, and that's
I'll tell you.
okay.
Speaking of Nanooks, the 692 executive grade ships on a hard sided Nanook with locking holes. That
Yeah.
case in of itself is a fantastic travel pistol case for any pistol because that's literally what I
Oh,
use.
that's
It's not
absolutely what I
open.
use it for. That's what I travel with is the
In
Nanook
fact,
that I
yeah.
got
Oh,
with
these
my
little
fighter
Nanook.
grade.
I mentioned that in my original review on Gat Daily for the 692 Elite Executive, sorry,
But
which is also the most
it
intense
is
gun
the
review I
yeah,
wrote.
it is one of the best travel cases that it's so nice.
Yeah,
And
so
it packs well. It packs
all of
very
the
well.
executive grades now ship in these Nanook cases, and they're such good little cases. And if you want, you can pull out the laser cut foam and just put in whatever foam you want in there, and you are off to the races. I'm not saying that you should buy a 692 executive grade just to get the case, but you know, that's one way to get the case.
You get a
Oh, here was another.
692 executive grade and a good case. I see no
Oh,
downside.
here was another dumb one recently. So I was flying out of, so I did a weird itinerary where I flew American Airlines to wherever I was going and Delta back. And my Nanook has, Nanook makes TSA locking hasps. So the actual latches on my Nanook case lock and they are TSA compliant, right? So what I would do is I would just lock up and that's it because the case is now locked. I've complied with the federal regulations. It actually makes my life easier because the TSA doesn't have to call me to open my case. Like, it's fine. All right. We can have a whole different discussion about TSA locks versus non-TSA locks. But totally fine, meets all of the requirements. So I'm going to check in on this Delta flight. And the Delta lady goes, well, I can't let that case fly because it doesn't have locks in the holes. And I was like, sorry, what? She's like, well, the Delta policy is that if there is a hole for a lock, you have to have a lock in it. And I looked at her like she had just said the dumbest thing I'd ever heard because she had. I was like, but the case is locked. Look, these lock, they can't open them without the key. And she's like, I know, but the policy says. And I was like, if you say the policy says to me one more time, I'm going to hit you with this case, lady. So she was able to find somebody who had a brain, and that person who had a brain gave me two shitty little TSA locks that I put through the hasps. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing that I've done. I have a locking case, and you're making me lock it.
Lock the locking case that is locked
Okay.
for extra lockiness.
Yeah, that was a dumb one, which also brings me to my other traveling with guns pet peeve. Let me check in on the app. You fucks. Like, if you, so, and I don't know for, I only know this for American and Delta. I don't know for United, and I certainly don't know for the little crashy airlines. But if I'm flying a round trip itinerary on Delta or American, and I check in on the app, go to the airport, check my gun for my outbound leg, on my return leg, I cannot check in on the app. Can't. Because I've got a naughty thing attached to my profile now, and they're
Uh-oh.
like, and what, to what fucking point and purpose does that restriction exist? Huh? What, do you think I'm gonna check in on the app and like carry my gun through security? Like, what do you fucking think is gonna happen? I still have to check my gun. I still have to go to the desk and hand somebody my fucking gun case and be like, here you go. Here's my gun. But no, I can't check. It's such an irritating inconvenience. That one actually pisses me off to the point that I've started booking individual one-way itineraries, specifically so I can check in on the app. That's how irritated I am with that.
Really, really is a giant pain for literally no reason. There is
Hate
no
flying
reason.
gun.
Everyone else can check in for the flight and say, "Yep, I'm here. I'm coming. I'm going." Yeah, I'm still going to check my gun the proper way because I'm not going to join the rather large myriad of people who still try to go through TSA with a gun on their hip.
Yeah, hey
That
guys,
is baffling.
stop doing that.
Is
Stop.
that a thing in 2025?
Oh yeah. Every next time you fly,
You know
look at
those people
your
who've never flown before and never heard of the TSA who always join you on your trip when your trip is tighter than, you'd like it to be? Some of these people bring guns.
here's
There's
this
like
great solution for
47,000
this.
signs. I can't.
And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like when I'm walking up to the TSA pre-check, there's a brief moment of panic where I'm like, what if I have a gun in my bag? You know?
Yes.
And I'm like, I know I don't. And here's how I know I don't. And I encourage everybody to adopt this as a best practice. This is my travel backpack. This backpack has my laptop, my chargers, a bunch of, you know, all of the stuff that I need to go on a normie ass trip is in this bag. Do you know where this bag never goes?
The gun
To the
range,
gun range. Never, never,
computer
ever
bag.
does this bag go to a gun range with me.
My wonderful Swiss computer bag. You know what never, ever goes inside that? Guns or ammo. They never go in that bag.
This is my range backpack. Do you know where this never goes? To the fucking
Airport.
airport. It's not hard, guys. Like,
A
backpacks are
little
pretty
planning makes
cheap.
your life a lot easier because you never have to be like, oh crap, there's loose rounds of 9 mil in this, or there's brass, or there's a gun or a knife that I shoved in there because it never goes in that bag.
I did, and I had it
Never in
happen too,
that bag.
where I had a knife in the before I went to the two hard segregated backpacks. I could have lost my pre-check because I tried to bring a Spyderco Street Bowie through Minneapolis Airport Security. The dude was cool. It was like 5 in the morning. He was like, had to, I'm just gonna take that. And I was like, cool. Cool. But yeah, having separate bags is huge. And also, like, I don't know why this isn't a thing people do, but I bag drag myself before I go to the airport where my carry-on, I'll be like, hey, let me just do a quick run through this bag, make sure there's no knives. Because knives are the problem. I will throw knives in that bag, and that's a bad idea. But yeah. I don't
I
understand.
always very, very deliberately, and with the one time that the TSA ate my Marine Corps knife is the one time I violated it a little bit. It still went in the bag the way it was supposed to, but it didn't go into the specific pocket I always shoved the knife in, which up until that point had delivered it successfully. But anytime I am flying with a Sharp, there's a Sharp check where it goes into the bag the way it is supposed to be. If I get stuff, which happens a lot on trips, you get handed stuff, you get handed bags, you get everything like that. The conventions still give bags away of stuff, and a lot of times there can be knives in there. That's still a common thing. Like, hey, there's a Spyderco or whatever. Like, there's a knife for this event. Thank you very much. And so you get handed that. So the return trip is the same way. As I'm packing out the return trip, there's a sharps check. All the sharps go in the proper pocket in the checked bag.
I just lost a. I was at IDPA Nationals and they gave away like a 2025 in IDPA Nationals engraved knife. Just like some Chinesium knife, but
Yeah.
it was nice. Anyway, I had it in my pocket at the Tallahassee Airport and had just finished sending my checked baggage through and was walking towards security when I did a pocket pat and was like, ugh. So that went in the trash, but This was a little bit of planning. I had gotten that knife at Nationals. Normally, the knife that I keep in my pocket is a much more expensive, this is a Gerber, is a much more expensive Gerber Auto that I would really be upset. And I had put that IDPA knife in my pocket because I was like, I've got to go to the office before I go to the airport. I have stuff I want to do, and I would like to still have a knife. So, like, having essentially having a throwdown
Having a
isn't.
tosser is
Yeah,
good.
it's not a bad
$10 at
idea because you
Walmart,
could be like, oh, you
you
know
need it.
what? I'm gonna get, what's that?
It's a $10 Walmart Ozark Trails knife. It's like a cheap Benchmade clone. It cuts pretty good for $10.
I gotta tell you, like, I'm fully capable of being a knife snob, right? Like, I carry Spyderco's and Gerber's and good high quality knives, but the disposable gas station folder. The $10 Walmart folder, that thing, there's a real good place for that because you can have four or five of them. They go in, you know, one of them lives in your checked bag suitcase, so you've always got a knife wherever you go. Or you can friggin', if you're going somewhere and you're just carrying on, but you want to get, you know, grab a, you know, have some sort of lethal force option when you get there, go to a Walmart, get yourself a $10 folder. Now you've got lethal force. Get yourself a little can of pepper spray. Now you've got less than lethal and you're good. You spent 30 bucks.
When I was on the road, sometimes I had to fly out to pick up trucks and do all that stuff and stop at a Home Depot. You need materials anyway. You got a Milwaukee knife. Well, hey, I'm a mover or I'm a worker. Like, why wouldn't I have a Milwaukee knife? Like, I'm just working, boss.
Knives. I'm not, you know. I once said to my wife, I'm not really into knives, as I was like dumping a box full of knives into a drawer. And she looks at me and I'm like, I'm not. You just sort of acquire them in this line of work. Like,
Revolvers are the same way.
I'm
they
not into
are.
rifles or handguns, I swear. Buys another
Like,
rack to store the new ones.
you're like, ooh. I mean, what I meant to say was.
I recently went into the vault here in our office and looked at a couple of my personals that are on the wall, and I'm like, oh, I should bring this home at some point. And then I very quickly realized again that all the racks at my house are full.
Cool. Yeah. I have
Oh
started.
yeah, I brought these here for a reason. Reason be space.
So my locking gun closet that, you know, is it locks up safe storage, all of that stuff. Yay, compliance. I have run out of space, and so there's a coat bar across it because it's a closet. I've started using zip ties and metal coat hangers to hang guns inverted by the trigger guard in there because I'm like, I don't know where the fuck else I'm gonna put these things. I need to stop getting guns for work. I have been
Yeah,
in my local FFL picking up transfer. I don't know what it is. I've
I've been on my FFL's Wi-Fi for a year now, just because I go there so much.
You're like, hi guys. Here, Paul, tell the people what it's like as a gun writer when you get so many guns. Like, it's kind of
It gets
comical.
absurd.
You know, it sounds cool on paper, but it's a pain in the ass in reality. It's a giant pain in the
Yeah,
ass.
it's really cool until you find out all the logistics they don't talk about in doing all this stuff. There is a cool perk at mine, but and I've managed to do this with most of the FFLs that I've used throughout the years. I get to the point where I'm in there so much and they recognize me and they know what I do that I get back counter access, so I can just walk places, and it's fun seeing the normie customers and be like, wait, he just, and they're like, yeah, Keith, that's Keith.
I tell
We
you,
don't, we don't, we don't stop Keith. He knows what he's about.
I miss having my own FFL. That was, oh, that was nice.
I love having ours. I really, really like having one.
Like just
My
the
local.
ability to have the gun shipped straight to where I was going to be writing about it anyway. Oh, so great. That was so great. I miss that a
My
lot.
local one has a little pile for me in their warehouse area. Like, I get my little corner. I can't go back there, but they know who I am and what I'm about. And shout out to GT Distributors for that, because they've been They've been a real help, honestly.
They've got the Paul pile. I think anytime
Gerbrand has the Keith pile, which is the Rob Keith pile, is what that exists as. Is Keith will probably like this. Let's put this in the location that when he comes into the store, he will see it and hand us money.
I have I'm pretty sure whenever my local FFL gets a Taurus in, they just assume it's for me. And that's probably a safe assumption because one of the things that we've discovered with our market research is Taurus is a high volume buy the gun in the store product. Like people will go to Bass Pro Shops or Academy or whatever and buy a GX2.
They'll buy it at stocking locations.
Exactly. Yeah. They'll buy it from stocking dealers at stocking locations. It's much lower probability that they're going to buy online and have a transfer done. I'm not saying we don't do any of that business. We do, but it's an interesting sort of business thing where, like, with a gun like the GX2, especially because it's positioned at that entry level price point and it attracts that entry level users are far more likely to buy what's in front of them from a stocking dealer versus degenerates like us who are on GunBroker at 2 in the morning looking, looking just depraved shit. My wife's like, I wish she's like, what are you on your phone for right now? I'm like, I'm looking at gun auctions. She's like, can't you just watch porn like a normal person?
Shit, I was just texting Keith about a Colt OEM too, and it's like, why does this sound like a good idea right now? It's like 11:30 at night.
You were like, hey, my local has an old Colt. We say
New old
old. That
stock
was a
OEM
relatively
2.
recent Colt variant of the 6920 builds. Was the OEM where we had this great idea at one point in time because there were a billion handguards and a billion stocks on the market. It's just like, here, do yourself.
Which
And it's like,
actually, I loved those guns because everybody had.
I love that concept. They unfortunately didn't commercially do well because it turns out we can like concept and then when it hits big market, it just doesn't do as well. But they did move a
Well,
lot of them.
that is
The intrusive
the
thoughts are still there.
you should
That
buy
gun's still
it.
on the rack.
That's the enthusiast versus consumer divide, right? And this is one of the things that we've talked about a lot before, but the way Paul and Keith and I interact with the firearms market is way different than like 80% of the market interacts with it because we are highly autistic super dorks when it comes
Yes.
to this gun thing.
I've
And we're in the
I've
room
had this
talking.
conversation with many a marketing person as well. Like we I need you to understand you don't need to market to me. You need to market to me too, but that's the easy part, right? Because I'm the super autist. You need to market to the unwashed masses.
And the unwashed masses want to buy guns that have handguards and stocks on them,
They want it. They want it ready out of the box. They want it.
Exactly.
They're various ready out of the box. 90% of them, as they're walking through the door, they've already decided basically, what they want or what category of thing they want. Therefore, you just need to have complete product ready to go to these people. And there's nothing. I say unwashed masses, but there's nothing wrong with consumption like that. There's nothing wrong with wanting the done product and not wanting to do a build or anything like that. The OEMs and I think Smith did it. There were a couple of companies that did the OEM gun where it didn't have stock, didn't have handguard, sometimes didn't have pistol grip when it shipped. And it was like, all right, pick yours, put it on the gun. And as an armorer, that's not a hard process. You just make sure that it works with the standard barrel nut. There are plenty of handguards that do. And then grip and stock are super easy. Like it's a
Yeah.
screwdriver, and in the case of the stock, it's pull down the thing.
I can't think of
And
a better example of making a gun for enthusiasts and then receiving normie tier feedback that all of the choices you made were wrong than the 856 executive grade, which, that gun was designed by people who are very serious about revolvers as defensive tools, and that's why certain choices were made. That's why we launched on the 856, which is 38 only, because it's 38 and it has 6 shots. That's why it has a bobbed hammer, because no one who is serious about what we do is shooting these guns single action. And what was the overwhelming majority of consumer feedback? Well, let me rephrase that.
Including mine.
The overwhelming majority of
Me
negative
too.
consumer feedback was, why doesn't this have a hammer spur and why isn't it a 357? Like, that's like, we got loads and loads of positive feedback, but the number of people
Oh yeah,
at trade shows.
the gun works amazingly well. But even I said I wish this had a hammer spur, and entirely for the vibes.
And so then the next executive grade that we did, not the next one, so we did the judge next, but then the one we did after that was the 605, which is 357 Magnum, and it had a hammer spur. We said, because credit to Taurus, we will actually do the thing. If enough customers ask us for the thing, we'll do the thing.
I do appreciate
Turns out they sell well
66.
when you do it too.
Yeah.
I appreciate the E66 not being with a spur, so.
Oh, the 66 Combat. And you know what's interesting about the 66 Combat? Nobody has bitched in my ear about it not having a hammer spur. And I think it's because the 66 with a hammer spur already exists. And the Combat is now so deeply niche. Like, it's in such a, like,
Oh, so everyone gets what they want.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
If you want to go
the
get it.
option essentially exists already if you want the hammer spur.
Yeah, if you want it, go get it. And the stock 66 has got a pretty friggin' good trigger in it. It's not as good as the one in the 66 Combat, which is really good.
The one in the 66 Combat, I felt
You
that at
dwarf.
NASGW 2 weeks ago.
What, whatever magic that your autism put into Taurus and Rossi triggers, God, they're fun. They're phenomenal. Even the Heritage, even the Roscoe, they're
What was the line?
phenomenally good
They
revolver
call,
triggers.
like,
Yeah,
when
and he's like, "Oh, I just
I
took
pick
this out
up
of the box. I
Factory
didn't."
Smiths that cost twice what the Taurus does, and I go, "Ew,
Bad.
no, bad, needn't work.
What did people used to say
Gun
about, like,
work good, but
HKs?
trigger bad."
They've got kraut space magic in them, was the word for what people said about HKs. We
Yeah,
got
G1.
Brazilian acai magic. That's what we got.
Yeah. You got to
That's
trademark that line.
that's what we got. We got that Brazilian acai magic trigger. All right,
Yeah.
boys. This has been a fun episode.
We didn't
Birds of a
talk
feather.
about anything we originally intended to, and I'm fine with
No.
that. We have another episode to do.
This episode brought to you by Tylenol. Thank you.
Bear, don't sue us. We're not, it Bear's not spending anything with us. Sorry, guys.
Pro tips for travel, guys. Have separate bags for the range and for travel. Look
Look
up
up
the
your travel
laws.
pads.
Any state that you're going to be stopping in, look up the laws. Bucky's, you could probably carry. If a state's got a Bucky's in it, you could probably carry a
You're
gun.
good. You're good if there's a Buc-ee's there.
Don't quote me on that, but I now kind of want to do that. Like, what are the gun laws in states with Bucky's? Because I feel,
compare.
well,
No, as
hang
a
on, before.
permissiveness versus Buc-ee access.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah,
this is
coefficient of
interesting.
Buc-ee's is in your favor, and I can say that as a
Hold
former
on.
truck driver.
Hold on, hold
On
on.
business.
What states have boosies in it?
The
Ooh.
Boosies.
All
The only
right,
one that I'm
so
weird about is Colorado, because isn't that one kind of like Diet California when it comes to gun laws? They do have a Buc-ee's outside of Denver, north of it, on
is, yeah.
95.
All right, so here we go. Bucky's gas stations are located in Alabama, constitutional carry, Colorado, not,
No.
but relatively wide reciprocity in Colorado. Florida has constitutional carry now, right? They finally enacted
Yes,
that.
I believe they
Florida
do.
constitutional carry. Georgia has
They're at the
constitutional
very.
carry. Kentucky has constitutional carry. I'm not sure about Mississippi. Missouri has constitutional carry. South Carolina has constitutional carry. Tennessee has constitutional carry. And did Texas, Paul, did Texas finally get with the program and get constitutional
Yeah,
carry?
I believe they actually did like 2 or 3 years ago.
So
Would be a recent
Florida
state. Is Florida was
every state on
23.
this list, except every state on this list where there's a Buc-ee's, has constitutional carry except for Colorado. So
What did I
my
say?
statement that if you're going somewhere with a Buc-ee's, you're good was actually
Pretty darn
correct.
spot
Oh, look, and they're going to be expanding into Arizona, constitutional carry, Arkansas,
Yep.
constitutional carry, North
Yep.
Carolina, not, Ohio, I don't
North
know.
Carolina is per North Carolina has good reciprocity, though.
North Carolina has very good reciprocity. Ohio sucks. Virginia also kind of sucks. And
Ohio is just
Louisiana, constitutional
Oh,
carry.
Ohio has reciprocity. They're just awful because they are Ohio.
Yeah. So, but even so, even when they finished their expansions into Arizona, Arkansas, North Carolina, Ohio, Virginia, and Louisiana, the vast majority of states with a Buc-ee's have constitutional carry. And this is good advice. That is it for this week, guys. Thank you for watching. If you are watching on Open Air Media, make sure that you share this. You know, send the link to somebody. I don't know, spam them. I'm not responsible for your emails. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave us that 5-star review and an actual like review with your human words if you would like to. And we will be back next week with a new episode. Bye.